We are going to be reviewing the books of the Bible here very briefly. Let's see. First book of the Bible, Genesis. When you think of Genesis, you should think of what? Big innings. When you think of Exodus, think of exit the land of Egypt. Leviticus, two things. It is basically about feasts and offerings. Numbers is basically about what in the wilderness? Wandering in the wilderness. Deuteronomy is basically a giving of the second law. Good. History books. Joshua is basically doing what to the land of Canaan? Conquering. Judges is another C word. Cycles. Ruth is a love story. First Samuel is basically about what king who had no heart for God? Saul. But Second Samuel is about a king who did have a heart for God. What is his name? King David. First Kings is basically about two S's, David's son and what happened after Solomon died. What are they? Solomon and the split of the kingdom. See the bag splits there. Second Kings is about the two kingdoms and all of those kings, and they're spiraling toward what? Exile. Exile. Very good. First Chronicles is basically an editorial in the life of what good king? And 2 Chronicles is an editorial on the life of what nation? The southern kingdom of Judah. The post-exilic historical books, that's after the exile. Ezra is basically about what? It's relating three things. It's relating building, and it's relating people, and it's relating the temple, and I should say four things, and rejoicing. It's building the people to build the temple, but getting the people to be rejoicing to build the temple. So it's kind of a long, complicated thing, but include those four things. People, building people, and building the temple, and getting them to rejoice in building the temple. So four things. Ezra, Nehemiah wasn't about building the temple, but building the what around Jerusalem? The wall. Esther is basically a description of what is taking place in what nation of which she is the queen? The Persia. And she was a Jewess, and King Ahasuerus, it says, it's really Xerxes in history. King Xerxes chose her to be his queen after he deposed Vashti. The poetical books. The book of Job is about two S's. What? Human suffering, but God's sovereignty. Psalms is about what W word? Worship. Proverbs is another W word. What is it? Wisdom. Ecclesiastes is what V word? Vanity. And the Song of Solomon is about love in what relationship? In marriage. We hit the five major prophets. Isaiah has two aspects to it. Two G's. What are they? Groan and glory. Good. Jeremiah, according to this one, it says rotten sash, stinky sash. Lamentations is about what? Weepings or tears, crying. Ezekiel is, one of the themes of Ezekiel is about what? Dry bones. By the way, all of this is by way of review. All of these have been recorded, and so if you want to grasp them, I would encourage you to listen back there. We just don't have time because there's 66 books. Daniel is a book that has what as one of its major themes? A D word. Dreams. Nebuchadnezzar has them, and Daniel thinks of them. 12 minor prophets now. Minor meaning the books are basically smaller. Hosea, the main theme of Hosea is a harlot. Harlot there in the red light district even. And there's a whole great drama that's played out in Hosea displaying God's love for his people. Hosea, Joel. Or Jello. Joel, a main theme of Joel is all about the what? The locust plague. Amos, a theme of Amos is a plumb line. God's people need to be straight with him. Obadiah is that we are to be our brother's keeper. Very good. And Jonah, everyone knows about Jonah. What is Jonah about? Yeah, the whale. And Micah. Micah is day in court. Nahum is a flood, is what it is, a flood on the capital city of the world empire at the time, which is Nineveh, a book written, like Obadiah, to God's enemies. Habakkuk, according to this one, it's called Watchtower. Really, the theme of Habakkuk is from fear to faith. You want to bolster, you feel like you're very fearing, you want to become more faith-filled? Habakkuk is a great book. Get a study Bible because there are some phraseology that could be just kind of weird to you. Zephaniah is what will burn like a fervent heat. The day of the Lord. And Haggai, these are the three post-exilic, after the exile, minor prophets. And Haggai is all about building the what? The temple. Good. And Zechariah is all about prophecies of the coming whom? Messiah. Malachi, God's people have what kind of hearts? Hearts of stone. New Testament, the book of Matthew presents Jesus Christ as the king, but Mark presents him as a what? As a servant. Luke presents him as the perfect what? Man, but John presents him as whom? Yeah, God himself, the Son of God. Very good. And in the book of Acts is all about what thing? 30 years of history of the what? 30 years history of the church. Good. Let me get to where we are here, and that is the Pauline epistles. And the epistles, as we have looked at, are letters concerning people mentioned in the book of Acts, or churches in the book of Acts. Also, the epistles are the explanation of the person and work of Jesus. The entire Old Testament is saying he's coming. It's anticipation and preparation. The New Testament is the arrival and the presentation of Jesus. The Gospels introduce Jesus. The Acts is the proclamation of Jesus, and the epistles explain him. In other words, whenever we go out and want to tell someone about Jesus, many times they'll have questions, and sometimes it'll stump us. In our Bible, there are numerous books that give more detailed explanation about Jesus and salvation. It's the epistles that's here. And by the way, we've mentioned it before. If a person only got their belief only from the four Gospels, they're going to be faulty in their belief and they'll be in doctrinal error because Jesus doesn't explain this thing of church that he mentions only twice in Matthew 16. He doesn't explain what it means to be baptized by fire. He doesn't explain about what in the world does it mean to eat my flesh and drink my blood. All of these things are explained in the epistles. And in the epistles, we have the point of this provided person, Jesus Christ. The Gospels simply give us the introduction to him. But what's the real point all about? The epistles tell us the real point. And the epistles is life in Jesus. The Gospels are the life of Jesus. The epistles, life in Jesus. And we're looking at the Pauline epistles, though. They were written by the Apostle Paul. They cover Romans through Philemon, and there are 13 of them. And this is still by way of review. Last week, we saw Romans. The theme of Romans is for you in modern English right there, and that is what? The debt is paid in full. Romans, debt, paid in full. And 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is about what? Spanking the saints. Now, there's not a whole lot of interaction yet, which very well could mean that I have not conveyed the meanings very well. If the student hasn't learned, then the teacher hasn't taught. 1 Corinthians, spanking the saints. Paul is correcting numerous problems and issues in the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is the anatomy of what? The anatomy of an apostle. Remember, we explained last week the Corinthian church didn't respond too keenly to 1 Corinthians. And so they started making a character assassinations on Paul. And he said, wait a minute. Let's back up and let me show you the anatomy of my life, as which is also an anatomy of the entire gospel preaching ministry itself. Very, very good book. Galatians, one word. That begins with a U. It is, what is the theme? Un, unshackled. Very good. Galatians is the many Romans. The book of Ephesians. Ephesians is written to the church, the body of Christ, and it's all about body building. Ephesians. How do you build a body? Bodybuilding. The book of Ephesians. Philippians. This is where we ended last week, and I'm thankful we have a good 17 minutes to hopefully finish. Philippians. You see he's flipping ends there. Philippians. And he is happily, you see him happy, he's got a smile, and he's humming, and he's a bull. So that gives you the theme of Philippians, happily humble. Okay, happily humble. And he has the tattoo there, EMF, which means eat more fish. His brother is the Chick-fil-A cow, which is eat more chicken. Happily humble. Here is really what has taken place in Philippians. Philippians only has four chapters. It is the most autobiographical book of the Apostle Paul's life than any book that he wrote, even more than 2 Corinthians, especially for its size of four chapters. So in it, he's talking about a lot about himself, but it's not in a pride sense. He's repeatedly saying, follow me only as I follow whom? Only as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's setting himself up as a Christ-like model to follow. And in it, Philippians, many people, when they think of Philippians, they think of one big word that begins with a R. Or you can shorten it to a three-letter word that begins with a J. What is many people, when they think of Philippians, it's all about what? Rejoicing or joy, a book of joy. And that is so. For its size, joy and rejoicing is mentioned more in there, so it is a book about joy. But it is a book about the Apostle Paul being a Christ-like model to follow, and that he's a model of maturity. Also, in the book of Philippians, for its size, it has more thinking words mentioned in it than many other books. The next time you read Philippians, I say this all the time, I encourage you to look for the thinking words in Philippians. Why do I say that? Many people like the thought, well, if I read Philippians, I'm going to be joyful. That's not necessarily the case. Here's what's happening. Paul is chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day, can do nothing, I repeat, nothing, without a Roman guard in this house arrest being chained to him. And Paul is joyful. You read the book of Philippians and ask, okay, Paul, how in the world did you get to be so joyful in the midst of your trials? And he says, it's because of what I choose to think about. In other words, dear friends, we are not going to be joyful just by reading the book of Philippians alone. I've got to be thinking of the real truths that are there behind the book of Philippians if I'm really going to end up being joyful. The key to emotional spiritual life is controlling what I'm thinking about. A little bit of counseling this morning. If I were to ask you right now, everyone, get incredibly angry other than at me. Get incredibly angry. Get angry right now. You cannot do it unless you have stimuli in your thinking that helps bring out that emotion. If I were to tell you, you should be afraid, you should be terribly afraid right now. You can't do that. Unless you have stimuli, you're watching some Wes Craven horror flick or something like that, that will stimulate your thinking, that will bring out the emotion of fear and horror and terror. If I were to tell you to get depressed, you should be incredibly depressed. You cannot do it unless you have things that are going through your thinking that are bringing you down. Now, yes, there is some example, perhaps, of chemicals or things that go on, hormonal imbalances, as well as thyroid difficulties. Those I want us to know this, those I really believe are probably more the exception than they are the rule for the majority of people in the world. If we want to control our emotions, the Apostle Paul tells us how in the book of Philippians. You want to be rejoicing? You've got to control your thinking. You've got to. And so, for our sakes, the theme of Philippians is happily humble. But really, in Philippians, it is a Christ-like model of Christian thinking that brings joyful maturity. Paul is that Christ-like model of right thinking that brings Christian joyful maturity in the end. That's the theme of Philippians. So, good, good. Philippians. Colossians. Collusions. You see it? There's a so when you see the collusion, think of Colossians. Collusion, Colossian. In Colossians, it is two themes. The commander, right? The commander and chief. Very good. Two C words, commander and chief. And who is our commander in chief? Jesus Christ. The book of Colossians is an excellent, excellent display in chapters 1 and 2 of who is our commander in chief. And as a result, the Christian life we should live in chapters 3 and 4. Colossians, commander in chief. Now, we probably need to go back over some of these. Romans, it is what? Paid in full. 1 Corinthians is about spanking. The saints, 2 Corinthians is the anatomy of an apostle. Galatians is unshackled. Ephesians is about body building. That's the body of Christ, the church. Philippians is happily humble. Colossians is about two C words, commander and chief. And by the way, those GEPC, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, GEPC, General Electric Power Company. That's how you can remember those. We have three big long epistles at the beginning of Paul, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, then GEPC. And now we have five T books right in a row. Five that begin with a T. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I know. I'm trying to do everything we possibly can to help you to remember. I know these are groaners, right? They're groaners. But 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus. So five T's. So we've got three big ones. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then General Electric Power Company, and then five T ones. And what comes first are the Thessalonians. The first Thessalonians is on target, on target. The church in Thessalonica or Thessaloniki was a church that was on target. They were a model church. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, according to the book of Acts, only spent about 3.5 weeks in this place, and he was never able to visit them again, according to the records. Now, maybe he did, but in 3.5 weeks, a model church was established because there was such a great reception. And Paul is writing this letter to them to help stay on target, to stay on task. It's good. So tell me again, what's the theme of 1 Thessalonians? On target, on target. 2 Thessalonians is work. He's working, pulling those things up, working while he's watching his what? The theme of Thessalonians, the theme of 2 Thessalonians is working while you wait. Work while you wait for the Lord's return. Don't just be going up, standing on some hill somewhere and just waiting for Jesus to return. No, we're to be making our lives very profitable right now for others and for the Lord while we're waiting on his return. That's the main theme. So, five T's. First Thessalonians is about what? Staying on target. Second Thessalonians is working while you wait. And then the third T, which is first Timothy. First Timothy. And as a matter of fact, you even see it's not only moths that are up there. Do you see a butterfly? Two? Yeah, see the butterfly? Okay. All right, I know these are groaners. 1 Timothy, six small chapters that deal with a leadership manual. Timothy was a protege, a disciple of the Apostle Paul. Paul led Timothy to the Lord, and after a certain period of time, Paul cut Timothy off and said, "You need to be doing what I've done to you." Right? The things which I've taught you, you need to teach other men so that they are going to be able to teach others also. I'm no longer going to be pouring into your life, Timothy, although I will communicate from time to time. Timothy was the pastor at the church at Ephesus. Remember the book of Ephesians? Ephesians was written probably before Timothy became the pastor there. And then when Timothy became pastor there, because he was young and he was pretty timid himself, Paul writes this leadership manual to him. And we call these last three T's. Remember five T's? 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, the last three. 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. We call them the pastoral epistles because Timothy and Titus were both pastors that Paul had trained and had put them in places of service. So these are letters about pastoring specifically in a local church. 1 Timothy is the leadership manual. And in 2 Timothy, it's not a leadership manual. What kind of manual? Can any of you guess what it is? It's not a leadership manual. It begins with a C, one word, but it has the word bat in it. Combat manual. Very good. 2 Timothy is a combat manual. How do I stand for the Lord? How do I fight for the Lord? What's the best things to do? Where do I draw the lines? 2 Timothy, combat manual. Very good. And then the last of the T's is Titus, and this is another kind of manual. 1 Timothy is a leadership manual. 2 Timothy is a combat manual. Titus, you see that duck there? What kind of duck is he? Those of you in law enforcement would be able to tell what kind of duck he is. Yeah, he's imprisoned. We could say he's a convict. Or a conduct. So Titus is what kind of manual? A conduct manual. How should a pastor and a church in the relationship, how should we be behaving in our relationship with one another? A conduct manual inside the local church. Very good. So again, we're almost at the, well, no, let's keep going. 1 Timothy, leadership manual. 2 Timothy, combat manual. Titus is a conduct manual. And Philemon, you see all those lemons in a file? Philemon, Philemon, okay, it's to help you. Philemon, Philemon, and there's basically two things that's happening in this one little short book, one chapter, Philemon, last of the pastoral epistles of Paul. Pardon me, not a pastoral epistle, last of the epistles of Paul. Two things. You see, all those lemons are down because they're in where? They're in jail. They're in bondage. But as soon as they come out, there's someone welcoming them there into the brotherhood of the lemons. And that tells us the theme of Philemon, from bondage to brotherhood. That's the theme, from bondage to brotherhood. What's happening in Philemon is this. Because many times this isn't brought out all that well. In Philemon was a disciple of the Apostle Paul. Paul led him to the Lord. Philemon was a rich man. Philemon had a slave who was a pretty no good slave, an unsaved slave named Onesimus. Onesimus ran away from Philemon. But then, guess who he should happen to meet in the entire Roman Empire? The Apostle Paul. And guess what Paul told Onesimus, this runaway slave, about? He didn't tell him all about how he should go back first. He told him about who first? He told him about Jesus first. And so Onesimus comes to know Jesus as his own personal Savior. And then, now that Onesimus is a brother, he tells Onesimus, tell me more of your life story. Well, hey, I used to work for this guy named Philemon. Wait, Philemon? Not the Philemon of such and such a place. Yeah, you know him. I led him to the Lord too. That means, Onesimus, you and he are brothers now. And that means since you're brothers and you've done him wrong, what do you need to do? You need to go back. And be his slave again and treat him well. But Paul writes a short letter. It's only one chapter. And he puts it in the hand of this runaway slave, Onesimus. And he addresses the letter to Philemon. And he says to Philemon, Philemon, now remember a few things. I'm sending your runaway slave, Onesimus, back to you. And yes, he's done you dirt. And when he worked for you, he didn't treat you very well. But remember, you kind of, in a way, owe me your spiritual life. I'm not going to play that up, though, to you, Philemon. Also, remember that God's done wonderful things in setting us free, and we need to be forgiving. I encourage you, take him in as a brother now and treat him well. He's a brother, but I've also instructed him he needs to work hard for you and not be some lazy oaf either. It's a two-sided thing here in this relationship. So, Book of Philemon, when you read it, remember those things and bring it into your thinking. After the Book of Philemon come the general epistles. We call them general not because a general wrote them. They're general for two reasons. They're general because they were written not to a specific place or a specific individual. They were written to a bunch of different churches, and they're general secondly because they're written by various individuals, not by the Apostle Paul. We'll hit that, Lord willing, next week. Let's review the 13 Pauline epistles and their themes. Okay, here we are. The book of Romans is what? Paid in full. Very good. 1 Corinthians is about spanking the saints. 2 Corinthians is the anatomy of an apostle. Galatians is unshackled. And Ephesians is bodybuilding. Philippians, happily humble. Good. And Colossians is about our commander and chief. Good. Then the five T ones. 1 Thessalonians is about staying on target. 2 Thessalonians is about working while you wait. 1 Timothy, the pastoral epistles here, these three, is a what kind of manual? Leadership manual. 2 Timothy is what kind of manual? Combat manual. In Titus, it is a what kind of manual? Conduct manual inside the local church. And Philemon is from B to B. What? From bondage to brotherhood. Very, very good. Now, question. This is where it gets very, very practical in your own personal reading. What if you feel like your life has just all kinds of problems and you are just, you would call yourself a pretty fleshly Christian or carnal Christian, and you need a book that would just help straighten you out for all kinds of problems, issues that you have in your life? What book would you probably turn to that would address many, many problems and issues? The book of 1 Corinthians. Okay, very good. I hope you're thinking. If you wanted to know, I wonder what a real church should be looking and thinking and acting like as we interact with one another. What is the best way to build the body of Christ here? What book should you read? Ephesians, very good. How about this one? What two Pauline epistles, books would you read? I just really want to get a better grasp of my salvation and how God has set me completely free. What two books would that be? Romans, and the other one starts with a G. Galatians, if you want a book about joy and rejoicing, what book would you read? Philippians, very good. How about how a church actually should be operating, the operations of a church, and how the pastors relate and what we do as a church in the various things, in fighting the devil and in working with one another? What three New Testament Pauline epistle books would you read? Yeah, Titus and 1 and 2 Timothy, right? So what I'm trying to say here is as you memorize these themes, try to remember what the themes are, and then you can go to them in whatever the particular difficulty is. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to finish with the rest of the New Testament, and we'll be reviewing and hopefully answering whatever questions you have. We have 12 minutes. We need to pray and go. Thanks for your patience, Scott. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, help us to apply these things that we learn here as we read the Bible ourselves. We ask in your Son, Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you. You're dismissed.